So, I had this unique talent, and I knew I'm really good at this. My real event in high school that I focused most of my time on was Student Senate, or Student Congress. I focused at Nationals on the Senate, where it was just like ours. You would get up and give 3-minute speeches for or against bills or authoring the bill, which is like a special kind of foray.
And these were actual bills that would be debated, or they're mock bills?
Mock bills, shortened versions. In the same, you know, I learned Robert's Rules of Order from a very early age, and I was a parliamentarian from like sophomore year on.
So procedure was, which is very intimidating, I think, to a lot of activists, was not never a problem for you.
And it was a very comfortable part for me. It was like coming back to what I know.
It's almost like you're on your own turf.
I was back in high school debate again. It had been years since I'd gotten to debate like this. And, like, it was on such an elevated level of, I don't just get a judge to give me the most points and say I'm the number one speaker in the round and I win, but I get to affect social policy here, and we had a very clear consciousness that this was the marijuana industry's shot at being the example the world would follow. And I laid that argument carefully and early before it was certain that that was going to happen, to start building that inevitability in the minds of everybody, whether it was the legislature, the public that don't smoke pot and don't care, or the activist, was one way or another, we were at an inevitable point where you will have for-profit businesses because your hands are tied by the Constitution. You can embrace this, and years from now, this was an exact quote, and I actually been the Westwood quoted on this one, years from now, you will hear states and countries around the world saying, we're going to follow the Colorado model. And, you know, somebody like Tom Massey, who was a Western Slope real estate agent in ranch country, Republican, wasn't a Nancy Reagan Republican. He wasn't coming at, and there was very few of that, what about the children, what about the children argument at that time. And 2009 was a shitty year. Like, the legislature was coming into the beginning of 2010 after two of the worst years since the Great Depression.
And that's, you know, that's one thing that I think often gets glossed over and is highly relevant for this argument is you did have this nascent industry that was, especially before additional fees and taxes.
2009? This was the American dream success story in a way that has not been played out since our grandparents' age. And, you know, this is what you hear about post-World War II, of like pulling yourself up by the bootstraps and saying, we're going to fucking do this.
Every time you went into Home Depot, you saw 5 growers you knew. Every time you went out to eat, it was industry people eating because no one else had that. No one was doing home improvement, and no one else needed to buy that much shit.
Yep.
And we merged
it with a period of such incredible growth, where all the money immediately got plowed back into the operation. You didn't have an opportunity for the sort of visible wealth to spill. You know, we didn't see guys driving around in Ferraris the way you do in California.
Right.
And there was probably some of that cash flow being generated, but everybody was just trying to keep up because we saw this gold mine coming.
Absolutely.
I'm going to stay in the business long enough and this is going to be worth it.
But you had people entrepreneurs sustaining a middle class lifestyle.
Yes.
In 1 year.
And we had a 4 or 5 to 1 at least ratio of people who were not waking up in the morning worried that they could get their door kicked in for a controlled substances violation.
Yeah.
We had real estate agents and landlords and electricians, contractors, and HVAC utilities and general contractors and anybody. Trimmers. Like, if you're going to work in a shitty job somewhere, making minimum wage or basically minimum wage.
Would you rather be sewing or trimming pot?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would you rather be working at 7-Eleven or trimming pot and listening to music? And
that was pre-badge. Anyone could do it.
You get paid a lot more than two.
And for the people who started early, those people quickly became growers or hash makers or whatever.
We apprenticed our own industry.
Yeah.
And there was one of my clients early on who, I love the way he said this, was what we were doing in Colorado East from Texas was unlocking the tribal knowledge that for decades had been locked away under the surface because of illegality and bringing it above board so quickly that it required people who had real-world non-pot business experience to join with people who had real grow experience and weren't bullshit artists, to combine with somebody who knew how to run a retail operation, because that's what this is. This is a retail store,
right?
No matter how hot your fire, no matter what you what. And you know, so we had all of that come together.
And it so fast.
Perfect timing. And it was, you know, 2009. The other thing that I like to point to was, during the same time in 2009, 2010, Chris Gregoire, however you pronounce your name, of Washington, the governor.
Right.
Washington had a very similar early on upswell because they already had a medical marijuana law similar to ours, patients and caregivers. But what they saw was state government pushback and authorized tacitly or, you know, off the books, whatever, a lot of the raids. The federal prosecutors became very emboldened and shut down a lot of dispensaries. And so until the November 2012 ballot, you saw a California system existing there where places like Seattle would turn the other cheek and just say, we're not going to shut you down, we don't want to figure this out yet. Yeah. And you still had people in Tacoma getting their doors kicked in and hauled away to long jail sentences. And when you compare the numbers, you know, Washington State is about a 5%, plus or minus, more liberal state across the board than Colorado.
In their general politics.
Just, yeah, and any, you know, like the generic
question. And that's obvious. Question, highly educated state, techie state, West
and,
Coast.
And the population is heavily weighted on the West Coast, which is also significantly more liberal and tech-savvy and wealthy and affluent than the rest. But you have a huge part of the state that plays in politics that's farm country and is Idaho, basically.
Right.
They kicked in doors. Their voters voted to tell their government, seriously, guys, we're sick of it. And they legalized pot almost in retaliation to this continued problem. Whereas here, our voters should not have voted as overwhelmingly as they did by any sort of, again, generic analysis of our,
right.
our voter
base. Well, you just look at the Obama vote. We exceeded the Obama vote in the same election.
The big key margin was in assuming every pot smoker voted for Amendment 64, which we know isn't the case. Even factoring out that 18% or so of the adult population, there was a majority support for Amendment 64 among the non-pot smokers.
Right.
And that was a function of the fact that in 2010, the legislature was handed, almost on a platter, an industry that had already self-regulated, had coalesced, had come together, and at least begged for the first round of regulations.
Right.
There's all sorts of very valid debate to be had on the details of that, and individual decisions that kind of flowed from it, but
right.
the most important thing was, we came into the middle of 2010 with clarity, to a degree, and in the next year and a half, we had $1 billion of hard currency invested in the Denver 50-mile radius range, and a 60% drop in the retail price to the consumer, both of which, in an economics point of view, are grand slams to the government's interest.
Right.
We proved in the same time period, thankfully the media got on board and didn't exaggerate things, didn't do a whole lot of investigative digging on crime rates, but there was not the perception that, and the perception was almost that there was no crime in dispensaries.
Right. And there
the reality was, statistically, there were no more significantly so than most other businesses with a high-value inventory.
Exactly.
There's
compared to like
a robbery
a
day.
Pharmacy, yeah.
There's a lot of grows getting robbed, and a lot of it goes unreported to you know police and official statistics, which is also a sign of you know Denver PD especially, working with city council, working with all the stakeholders to say, we don't want to sensationalize anything. There was a willingness for a long time to turn the other way and not file reports because they knew we all needed to get to a point where the industry was viewed as safe.
So they played ball to whatever degree.
They did. You know, and
credit to them for that. I mean, it's visionary whether they can take the public stance or not. If in a policy sense, like, you know, I never knew that. I'll give them more credit now.
And I would say the other big factor that played into this was, and you'll see this in all sorts of other issues, the other interesting facet of how Colorado politics work, A, we're a western state, which has home rule cities.
Right. So local rule can supersede state rule? Is that how that works?
Right. The idea in all the eastern states.
And that's super western, frontiersy, like...
It's a function of the fact that Denver existed before Colorado existed.
Right.
And so when Colorado came into being, the cities that were here were all given the option, basically, to retain this home rule status, which was common throughout most of the western territories that were purchased. And it gives them limited trump card on the state over things that would traditionally be cities. So, you know, and the biggest thing that makes all lawyers scratch their head and throw up their hands on marijuana law is the day one, week one law school, federal law trumps state law, trumps local law, and each one has a division of powers, and this is the way it works.
Right.
And clearly now we have this inversion of state and federal law that is, you know, there's clearly detente from the federal government, there's an allowance of this to happen, you know, condoning directly. But from a truly legal point of view, that situation cannot last forever. That is
right.
a legal bubble that needs to be fixed. The Supremacy Clause is proven. The Angel Race case made very clear, the very clear test case for California, that there is no state-based ability to supersede the Controlled Substances Act under the 10th Amendment for medical, no matter how desperate the medical need. And it was, you know, a dying cancer patient, like a very specific test case. I use that quite a bit, actually, to talk to our politicians. I mean, like, federal law, this is figured out. Like, there is zero legal authority from the state to do so, however. So, home rule gives another little check against state power. just to those cities. So there's regular cities here that don't have
home rule. So not all Colorado cities are home rule. I see.
Wheat Ridge is a regular statutory city.
And it's one of the newer cities. You can tell by where it is.
Yeah. You know, I think Aurora's home rule, Colorado Springs is home rule, Denver. You know, and not all the cities that were here chose to be, but I think any of them were smart pretty much did. But what it's done is create this relationship between the state legislature, and particularly the Denver City Council, which is also viewed as that perfect middle between Boulder and Colorado Springs, that Denver can be the proxy,
right.
And then nobody has to talk about either two ends. And it's this beautiful tap dance that's very well choreographed across all other issues in the state, and marijuana took part of it. Denver City Council meets year-round.
And I guess I should editorialize a bit for my own notes that, you know, Boulder being liberal and Colorado Springs being the military stronghold of the nation.
Right. And the evangelical Jerusalem.
Yeah, evangelical Jerusalem.
A number of people.
And Fort Collins being a weird mix of the two.
Yes. It's half Greeley, half Boulder.
Yeah.
Which is another strange. I mean, we have a really cool state. We're also one-third Democrat, one-third Republican, one-third Independent.
One-third Independent is a crazy, you know, like
that
doesn't exist.
And that mix does not, that shade of purple is very unique across the United States.
Light purple. It's a pink. We're a pink state.
No, we're a dark purple.
Dark purple. Dark
perfectly between red and blue. Right. Exactly. So Denver City Council could act. The state will also, and like Romer I knew was going back and forth with Charlie Brown, who was our best friend, in retrospect. He says boneheaded things. He gets quoted, but the fact that Charlie Brown is the one who led that through Denver City Council had as much to do with everything where we came.